Two countries, one in the West and one in the East, were at the brink of a full-blown war. The Eastern country was about to use biological weapon against the Western country. The Western country, wanting peace, sent an ambassador urgently with an extraordinary peace treaty. So the ambassador from the West, knowing that the time is very short, took the next flight to the Eastern country. Upon arriving, landing at the destination airport, the ambassador was reminded of his long-term craving for a very popular dish that was served only in one of the cities of the Eastern country. So he thought, you know, let's stop by, take a bite, take a couple of pictures, send it to my wife, back on the road, no harm done. So he did. He was late for a couple of hours. By then, the Eastern country had fired their first missile. Misplaced priority. Now, some of you might be wondering or maybe thinking, oh, he should be fired. Maybe true. Have you misplaced your priorities? Those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ are called ambassadors for Christ, and we are given a message far more serious and urgent. Let me ask you again, have you misplaced your priorities, especially when it comes to evangelism? Are we more concerned about our great comfort rather than the Great Commission? Do you tend to be more passionate and driven by politics? Who will win in 2024? Always thinking about that. Or sports? Who will win the Super Bowl later today? Rather than the proclamation of the gospel. Dr. Munro challenged us with three themes early this year, one of which is shine the light of Christ. Are you struggling to make that a priority for 2024? You're not alone. The disciples of Jesus also struggled with this priority when they were traveling with the Lord Jesus through a place called Samaria. Jesus was extremely tired, thirsty, and hungry, so he stopped to take rest for a while, and the disciples had gone away to buy food. At that time, Jesus had a remarkable encounter with an unbeliever, a local Samaritan woman. The Lord Jesus masterfully shared the gospel with her. But when the disciples came back and saw Jesus with the woman, their priorities and concerns were not the same as that of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord taught them about the priority of evangelism. Today, this morning, I believe we can learn three reasons why we should prioritize evangelism in our own lives. So let's open our Bibles and turn to John chapter 4, and we'll read verses 27 to 38. John chapter 4, verses 27 to 38. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, no worries. There is a Bible in front of you in the pew. You can use that Bible. John chapter 4, verses 27 to 38. Let me read. Just then, his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking to her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, 'There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest'? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest already. The one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true: one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." So first, evangelism must be priority because it is the priority of Christ. Evangelism must be priority because it is the priority of Christ. Now look at what Jesus says in this passage. He said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." What does that mean? That means the priority of Jesus was to do the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? The will of the Father for Jesus is to seek and save the lost. How did he do that? We sang about that. Jesus came as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world by sacrificing himself on the cross. We read that in John chapter 1, verse 29. But see, Jesus also came to reveal the Father and tell people of the good news that we have forgiveness for our sins if we believe in Jesus Christ. This is what we call the gospel, the good news. So what is evangelism? Evangelism is the preaching, the proclamation, telling people about this good news. Throughout his entire life, the Lord Jesus never once lost focus of his priority. And when we come to this passage, the Lord Jesus paints a beautiful picture for the disciples and for us, through which he's explaining to us his highest priority. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. Now, why use the picture of food? Now, you know this. Food satisfies us when we are hungry, is it not? For the Lord Jesus Christ, although he was tired in his humanity and thirsty, what satisfied him was not a drink of sweet water or a hearty meal, but to see the will of the Father done. In this context, sharing the gospel with the Samaritan woman, that there is salvation in the Messiah, evangelism. That was his priority. Now, contrast that with the disciples and their priority. When the disciples came back, they are telling Jesus, "Rabbi, eat." Did someone bring something for him to eat? When the disciples came back, when they saw Jesus with the woman, their question was not, "Oh, how did the conversation go? Did she believe in you? Does she now know that you are the Messiah? Did she put her faith in you?" No, they were concerned about, "What can we eat?" While the Lord Jesus was willing to sacrifice his physical comfort to find complete satisfaction in doing the Father's will, the disciples were more focused on their physical food. We should ask ourselves this question: what satisfies us the most? Do we find satisfaction in our physical comfort, acceptance, climbing up the corporate ladder, to be known by everybody, to be accepted by everybody, temporal joys, earthly joys? Or do you find the most satisfaction in telling others about Christ in the hopes that they will come to Christ? What satisfies you? What is your priority? For the Lord Jesus, it is not physical comfort, but it was to make his Father known. Why? Because he loves his Father so much. Those of you who love Jesus Christ, do you have the same priority? Do your priorities align with that of the Lord Jesus Christ? Evangelism must be priority because it is the priority of Christ. Second, evangelism must be priority because people need Christ. Let's read verse 36 and 37. Do you not say, there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows, another reaps. What is the meaning of that? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is using an analogy from agriculture to explain to the disciples a spiritual truth, a spiritual reality. The harvest here is referring to people coming to Christ as a result of God's work through evangelism. Jesus had just shared the gospel with the Samaritan woman, and as a result of that, the entire Samaritan town is coming out toward Jesus. And get this, what are the disciples concerned about? Food. Now see, it's not any different today. The Lord Jesus is working behind the scenes, in the hearts of people, unbeknownst to us, preparing them to hear the gospel. How will they come to Christ if we don't tell people that they need a Savior? People need a Savior. Now you might ask, what does that mean? Some of you know this, but let me explain. Let me explain what it means to say people need a Savior. The Bible teaches in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Anna Davis shared that verse when she was getting baptized. What does that mean? That means every single person sitting here, from the youngest to the oldest, and every single person who is joining us through live stream, every one of us have sinned. So much so that we are worthy of eternal punishment, eternal separation from God. Now, there might be some here who might say, whoa, hold on a second. I'm not that bad. I know I'm imperfect. I'm not perfect. I get that, but I'm not that bad. I think I'm a good person. Let me explain using an analogy. All right? Now, put on your thinking hats. We are going to imagine a few things. Let's say that there is a technology, a new technology, and this works really well. This is an iPad. Imagine an iPad. This iPad is special that it hovers over your right shoulders. So think about seeing an iPad on the right shoulders of everybody sitting in the room, including me. All right, there's an iPad sitting right here. This iPad has the capability to project all your thoughts live onto the screen. Yeah. Okay? Now imagine everybody has that iPad, so you can turn around. Why are you thinking that? So I turn to this side of the room, and I see most of you are thinking about what food you will eat today for lunch. Being discouraged, I look at this side of the room. And I see you are thinking about who will win the Super Bowl later today. And for some encouragement, I look at my family. And they are thinking, when will he stop talking? Then as I look around the room, as you look around the room, there are some evil thoughts, dark thoughts. And some of you are trying to hide your thoughts, and that also shows onto the screen. I am trying to hide these thoughts. The images that you have viewed, the things that you have said, the things that you have seen, the filth that you have watched on the internet. Someone thinking about cheating on their spouse. Someone thinking about cheating at work. I'll tell you this, I'll confess, I'll be the first person to walk out of this room. You don't have to prove to me that I am not a good person. I don't have to prove to you. We know we are not good people. We are deceiving ourselves by saying, I think I'm a good person. No, we are not. But that's the problem, because Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. What does that mean? That means our sins are so bad and filthy that God has to send us away, eternally lost, eternally sent away. Now, there might be some other sitting here who might say, hold on a second, that's confusing. You say God is love. What is that all about? Let me explain using another analogy. Let's say that later today that you were thirsty and you walked into your pantry and you opened that bottle of water and you looked into the bottle and there is a dead worm in it. What do we do with filthy water? We throw it away. Some of you might throw the entire case of water bottles away. Some of you might never even buy anything from the store you bought that water from. We throw filthy water away. If that little impurity made that entire bottle of water unfit for drinking, how much more will our sins make me and make you unfit, unworthy to be in the presence of a holy God? God has to send me away because my sins are that filthy. God has to send us away. Now you might think, you know what? I can do some good things that will maybe cancel out the bad things, the filth that is there in my life. What do you use filthy water for? Do you use filthy water for cleaning? Do you give filthy water to a hungry child? Doing good things as evil people is just evil people doing good things. That is not going to cancel out the filth that is there in our minds. God has to throw us away. Ah, but here is where the love of God shines so very brightly. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "For God demonstrates his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died on the cross for our sins. Because my sins are that filthy, that dirty, Jesus had to die the most gruesome, humiliating, excruciatingly painful, bloody death. Why? Because in God's eyes, our sins are that heinous. But Jesus takes our place. We should have been on that cross. We should have been thrown away, but Jesus was sent on the cross on our behalf. Now, Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, there is no other name given under heaven unto men that we can call and be saved. Why? Because Jesus dies for the sins of people, but he did not stay dead. He rose again on the third day, victorious over death and the power of death. Only Jesus has ever done anything for our sins. You can look at all human history, all the religions, all the prophets, all the so-called gods. Nobody has ever done anything like what Jesus had done for us. And Jesus says, if you believe in me, I will in no way cast you away. You will be saved. Now see, salvation does not come because you go to a church. We are not saved from our sins because we are baptized. We are not saved from our sins because we do good things occasionally. We are not saved from our sins because we take communion. We are saved if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by grace, because he took our penalty. Oh, how badly we need a Savior. We say hallelujah for our Savior who died on the cross for our sins. Is there anyone here who knows that they need a Savior, but you have never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Come to Christ. Surrender your life to Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It is not only the case that people need a Savior, it is also the case that they need now. People need a Savior now. Look at what Jesus says in verse 35. Do you not say, there are yet 4 months, then comes harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. The need is now. There are many around you perishing, dying without Christ. The need is now. There's no time to waste. You don't have to waste for 4 months from now. It is not to be done after I go to high school, graduate from high school or college. Not after I get my promotion. Not after I get married. Not after I leave. We have a bunch of kids. Not after the kids leave the home. Not after I retire, but now. Evangelism must be priority, because it is a priority of Christ. Evangelism must be priority because people need Christ. And third, evangelism must be priority because it is the purpose of Christ followers. Let's read verse 38. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Why is the Lord sending them to reap? Is Christ not able to do all by himself? Oh, he's well capable. Christ followers are given the privilege and the command to join Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we are called the ambassadors for Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we are called royal, chosen race, royal priesthood. Why? Given the privilege of proclaiming his excellencies. Dr. Monroe, when he talked about our privilege, he described to us the privilege as the people of God. We are given the privilege to represent Christ, to speak for Christ. But Christ followers are also commanded to go. In Matthew chapter 28, we are commanded to go and make disciples of all the nation. The mission of Calvary is to be and to make authentic followers of Christ. This starts with evangelism, does it not? It is not an option. It is not something you do when you feel like doing it. It is a commandment like flee from sexual immorality. If we don't engage in evangelism regularly or as needed, we are not only despising the incredible privilege that has been given to us, but we are also directly disobeying God. Now you might say, well, yeah, I know that, but I'm scared. I don't know what to do. I feel inadequate. I don't think anybody wants to listen to me. That's okay. You know why? Look at what Jesus says in verse 38. Others have labored and you entered into their labor. The Lord has other servants. He is working through his servants. He is also working behind the scenes in the hearts of unbelievers, drawing them close to himself so that they can hear the gospel. You will never know what the Lord is doing behind the scenes. All you need to do is to be faithful and committed to the priority of evangelism, the proclamation of the gospel. Effective evangelism is proclamation of the gospel, presenting the truth of the gospel, and leaving the results unto God. That is effective evangelism. Now, I know for a fact that most of you who are believers in Jesus Christ know that evangelism is your purpose and a personal responsibility, and I know this for a fact that most of you desire to do it. But the problem is, we are not intentional about it. There is a lot of talk about evangelism, but not much is done about it. The story is told of an evangelism conference. There were several evangelists who came together to train local churches to do evangelism. One of the plenary speakers of the conference was someone whose expertise was neighborhood evangelism. So he wanted to demonstrate to the crowd how easily and effectively you can do neighborhood evangelism. Okay? So he took a whiteboard out and he was going to demonstrate for everybody, and he called on one person who was sitting up in the front. "Sir, would you tell me the name of your immediate neighbor who lives to your right in your community? I'm just going to write the name and I'm going to explain to you how easily and effectively you can do that." So he turned around to write and looked, and the guy goes, "I don't know." The speaker wanted to just encourage him, so he said, that's okay. "Tell me the name of your immediate neighbor who lives to your left in your community." And he goes, I don't know." It was really awkward. So the speaker moved on. After the session was done, the individual came up to the speaker, and the speaker apologized profusely. "I am so sorry. I did not mean to put you on spot. You know, I came to encourage you, but I discouraged you." And the guy says, "You have no idea what you have done." And the speaker says, "I am so sorry. I shouldn't have put you on spot. I am so sorry." And the person says, No. "You have no idea what you have done. I am the next speaker." Convicted? Now, I'm not sure if the story is true, but it makes the point clear. We do desire to do evangelism, but we are not intentional about it. Then we must ask, so is it really a priority? Evangelism must be priority because it is the priority of Christ. Because people need Christ. Because it is the purpose of Christ followers. There is much need. Let me challenge you with this. Ask you, lift your eyes and see the need. Do you see people around you who need Christ? Students, do you see that your fellow students, classmates, friends at school will be eternally lost without Christ? Is evangelism your priority? Businessmen, businesswomen, those who work in banks, those who work in IT, school teachers, medical professionals, government officials, do you not see that your colleagues are on the broad path of destruction? Is evangelism your priority? Those who are retired and all the others, do you not see that many are in your neighborhood who are perishing without Christ? We also have much need to take the gospel into our public schools through our Good News Club. Tell the nations about Jesus Christ through our ESL program. Teach salvation by grace to our children in our nursery and Awana right here. Will evangelism be your priority? Evangelism must be priority. Therefore, prioritize evangelism. And you might say, well, how do we do that? I have three practical points for you. Pray, practice, plan, and persevere. Pray, practice, plan, persevere. Pray. Jesus asked us to pray earnestly that the Lord of harvest will push his workers into the field. And we can boldly pray this about others, don't we? Send my neighbor into the missions field. There's a lot of need in China, so send him to the missions field. Can we pray that about ourselves? that God will move us out of the comfort zone and send us into the mission field, that he will give us the same compassion that he has for people, help us to have the same eyes and heart of Christ. Pray for boldness. Even the Apostle Paul needed that supernatural boldness, so he asked the Ephesian church to pray for him. Pray for boldness, and he will give you boldness. Pray that God will open hearts and give you opportunities. Every single time I've asked for opportunity, I've gotten opportunity. Pray for opportunity. Practice. I've noticed that many don't share the gospel because they don't know how to articulate the gospel to someone else. Practice articulating the gospel. The simplest way that I have found to articulating the gospel is the simplified Roman road to salvation, and I have that on the screen. Romans 3:23 talks about our condition. Romans 6:23 talks about the problem. Romans 5:8 talks about the solution. And Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What I continue to do with my daughters is to make them repeat that again and again and again so that you may have confidence. And when opportunity arises, you might be able to present the gospel with confidence. Another way is to join the Go to Proclaim, which happens every third Saturday. At 1 p.m., we have short training for 30 minutes. And then after that, we go out to the parks, to greenways, to apartments, and to learn to share the gospel conversationally. You will learn to some degree how to change everyday conversations into spiritual conversation. You will also learn by practice how to navigate through various objections of the gospel. Go to Proclaim. Another way is to join the Be a Light training, and the next training will happen in the spring for the Wednesday elective. There are many ways to practice the gospel. And third, the last, plan and persevere. What I mean by plan and persevere is to be intentional to share the gospel in your school, in your workplace, in your communities. Prayerfully, plan to invite your colleagues, your neighbors, your friends to your home so you will have the opportunity to show Christ and to share Christ. You don't have to share the gospel the first time they come home. Have them home for a couple of times, and third time, tell them what the Lord has done for you and present the gospel and ask them, what do you think? Plan to join ministries at Calvary that will train you, that will give you opportunities to fulfill your responsibility of personal evangelism. It could be Good News Clubs. It could be ESL. It could be Champ Sports. It could be our own nursery, Awana. But after you plan, follow through it. When you face opposition, don't give up, don't throw the towel in, but prayerfully persevere. Evangelism must be priority because it is priority of Christ, because people need Christ, because it is the purpose of Christ followers. Now, many of you know me. I come from a Hindu background. I was a staunch Hindu until I was 21 years old. If he had known me then, many would have given up on me because I had a zeal for the Hindu religion and knew how to defend it. In God's providence, my brother accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. He prioritized his responsibility of evangelism. He prayed for me. He knew how to articulate the gospel. He planned to talk to me about Jesus Christ. Now, my dad had already warned me about my brother's intentions to convert me to Christianity. And I thought, yeah, let him try. I'll convince him that he's wrong. So he considered the priority of evangelism to his own brother, and he called and he shared the gospel with me, and he told me that I needed Jesus Christ as my Savior. In my arrogance, I told him, I don't need your help. I don't need your Jesus' help. I know I can go to heaven by myself. In my arrogance, I denied, I rejected him, and I asked him to go away. He probably thought, this guy is hopeless. But he persevered, and he called regularly to tell about Jesus Christ to me. What he did not know was this, that God was already working in my heart, drawing me close to himself, breaking the bondage of Hinduism, showing me the folly of deaf and mute idols, and showing me how much God loves me, that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Several months later, I gave my life to Christ as my Lord and Savior. Few years ago, I was ordained here at Calvary Church as a pastor, and during the ordination service, I saw my brother sitting down there, and I saw the joy in his face. Sower and reaper may rejoice together. Don't rid yourself from that joy. Prioritize evangelism. I will not be here if it was not for God working through my brother as he prioritized evangelism. Therefore, prioritize evangelism. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have spoken to us today. As we prayed earlier, Father, please help us not to be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Challenge us. Help us to become effective ambassadors of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.